What we need right now is hope. Because of that, here at Sharing the Light, we've chosen to bring out one of our most requested vintage series, I Hope So, from Pastor Alan Wright.
We are to live with so much certainty of our future blessedness, so much assurance that we cannot be rejected by God, so much security in the favor that's been poured out upon our lives, that it causes us, no matter what we're going through, to live as a people of profound hope.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright, welcome to Sharing the Light, a program of healing and hope, sharing the good news of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Hi, I'm Daniel Britt, eager for you to hear Alan's message in a series called I Hope So, taken from the pulpit at Renolda Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. If you want to know more about I Hope So, listen up next here on Sharing the Light. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. And stay with us at the end of today's broadcast for a special offer to help you in your spiritual life. Here now with today's teaching is Alan Wright.
Romans chapter 8, verse 1. I've been waiting my whole life for Romans 8, verse 1. The entire world has been groaning, waiting for Romans 8, verse 1. All of history has been pointing to the announcement of Romans 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We might as well just say hallelujah and go home. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's all I need today. Let's pray. The greatest news we could ever imagine. Springing off of these pages, coming looking for a home in our hearts, is a truth so daring, so great, so complete, that it transforms all of life. But flesh and blood cannot reveal this truth to us. So I ask you, Lord, would you anoint the word by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, and reveal by the Spirit what can only be understood by the Spirit, that we would be delivered, released, and empowered always. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look at life through the lens of a perspective that shapes how you see it. It can be seen in many different ways. I was riding down the road with, I had Abby and Bennett in the car, a rural road last week. And it just grew quiet for a moment. And Bennett, our 14-year-old, observed that there was a house had a fire hydrant in the front yard. And for some reason, he just called out and he said, man, that'd be terrible to have a fire hydrant right there in the middle of your yard. And I was thinking, well, what's so bad about that? I said, well, I think that'd be pretty good. And then Abigail, our 10-year-old, said, I don't think it'd be so bad. And we started laughing as to how we all were viewing this. And I said, Bennett, what's so bad about it? Well, you got to remember, he's my lawn man. And he said, well, I was just thinking about what a pain it is. You'd have to mow around the fire hydrant. That's the only thing he saw in it. And he said, what's good about it? And I said, well, what's good about it? I said, if your house caught on fire and the fire truck came, they wouldn't have to go around looking for a fire hydrant. It's right there. It might save your house. So I was thinking about the safety and well-being of the family. And we said, well, Abby, what was on your mind? Why did you think it might be good? And she started chuckling. You got to remember, Abby is our animal lover. And she said, I was just thinking about how much Reese would love having a fire hydrant right in our own yard. In life, we look at adversities as well as triumphs, but especially the difficult times or our times of grief and loss or when things don't go the way we thought. And we are going to look at those through a lens, and that lens may be the lens of condemnation. And for the vast majority, there is some admixture of a sense of condemnation, because we tend to, when something goes wrong, we tend to feel condemned in it. Why would God, if He's there, why would He bring this? And then, if you believe in God, you tend to think that in some way God must be condemning me. And from that, we derive the idea that we're not blessed. The lens of the gospel is the lens of hope, which stands in direct contrast to the spirit of condemnation. The lens of hope is not wishful thinking that somehow we'll escape the adversities of life, but it is instead an inward bliss and serenity that has grown absolutely confident of future blessedness. And the future blessedness is therefore to us an evidence that we are currently blessed. I've used the image of the child at Christmas. Help me see this. If a little girl says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking, especially if she doesn't live on a farm. Her parents aren't going to get her a pony, and she just says, "I hope I get a pony." So we tend to use the word hope as I wish that it would come to pass, but I doubt that it will. That is not what hope is according to the Scripture. But hope instead in the Scripture is a little girl who's excited on Christmas Eve, and you say, "What are you so excited about?" And she's like, "Because tomorrow's Christmas, of course. I don't know everything that's in every box. I don't know everything that I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know that tomorrow's Christmas." And so the delight, the serenity, the anticipation that keeps a child awake with joy on Christmas Eve, because Christmas is most definitely coming, that is hope. And what Paul has been communicating in Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 is a message of unfettered hope, wherein he is building up to Romans 8, verse 1, where he wants us to know that our hope as Christians is just like the little girl on Christmas Eve. We may not have all the blessing in hand now. We may not have it manifest yet, but we are to live with so much certainty of our future blessedness, so much assurance that we cannot be rejected by God, so much security in the favor that's been poured out upon our lives, that it causes us, no matter what we're going through, to live as a people of profound hope. And sometimes we go through very difficult things, and sometimes we go through gloriously wonderful things, but the characteristic of the life that's immersed in the gospel is one that is of inward confidence in blessedness. And therefore, even when we grieve, even when we cry, we're not doing so as a people who have no hope or confidence. We're not grieving, and we're not looking upon our adversities as though it is a picture of our condemnation. But instead, what we're going to see in Romans chapter 8 is that Paul says that you can become so convinced of your blessedness in Christ because of what Christ has done for you, who you are in Christ, that even when you go through difficulties, it will be nothing more to you than like the travail of a woman in labor who may go through the difficulty of it, but it is merely a sign that there is that of extreme blessedness is coming into your life. So that in many ways, what Paul has been saying in Romans 5, 6, 7, probably all of Romans, but especially 5, 6, 7, is why he comes to Romans 8, 1 and says, "Therefore, based on everything that I have communicated with you, I am now making the announcement because of all of that. Therefore, I can announce, based on all of that, that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ." And what he's saying is, I want you to get this because hope will cause you to partake of the blessing that is not yet manifested. You will live, this is a child in December waiting on Christmas, you live as though you have the same joy now, the thrill, the serenity, all of that is as real as when the gift is manifested. In other words, your expectancy, it is giving you the taste, you're partaking of your blessing, though you may not have it all in hand. And hope does that. That's incredible. It's incredible. You get to go all December as if it's Christmas Day, but it's only Christmas Day one day. And in fact, there's some things about living in hope that is almost more vibrant than the Christmas Day itself. I mean, I had a good Christmas, you know. I mean, I was thinking I was going to get that Nike 4 Hybrid because, you know, who needs irons in golf? But anyway, I saw her in there tinkering around the internet looking for the used golf club thing and eBay and all. And I was like, I bet that she's getting that for me. I didn't know for sure, but I figured I was going to, but I've got this expectancy that I'm going to get it. And then on Christmas, you hold it in your hand and I want to go play with it. You know, you want to play with the toy and that is fun to play with the toy. But I don't know which is better, the playing with the toy or just the hope of getting the toy. It's you are partaking of the substance of future blessing now, and that causes the condition of the soul to be one of incredible hope. And that's why sometimes we're crazy. You know, that's why sometimes we cry and yeah, we just got hope. And sometimes we laugh and we're going through horrible things. And why are you like that? And it's because I don't see my life as condemned. I see it as blessed. This is huge.
That's Alan Wright. You're listening to Sharing the Light, and we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled, colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart: hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, "I hope I get a pony for Christmas," that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, "I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good," that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
You're listening to Sharing the Light, and today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
If you're in Christ and you're living under a sense of condemnation, it is because hell hath persuaded you to condemn yourself because God has set you free. We prayed before our service and I felt God spoke to me and said, today is the day. It is the day for you to come out from under self-condemnation. It is the day to be set free. And there's nothing to prevent that. Paul laid all this out and said that as we came through chapter 6 and 7, this is not a message that is somehow glossing over sin. A lot of people, in their attempt to be full of grace, just sort of gloss over sin or act as though it's not. And all of us know you can't do that. That doesn't make sense because we have foolishness in our lives. We have sin still in our lives, and it does have destructive possibilities. And so Paul laid out that there's a battle between the flesh and the spirit, and that battle is very real. And if you, he said in Galatians, if you sow to the sinful nature, from the sinful nature you'll reap. You will. This is not, to have hope and say there's no condemnation is not to say that we do not need to have strong warnings about the dangers of sin and the dangers of folly. That is just the case. I believe it or not, my baby boy has taken driver's ed last 2 weeks ago. Driver's education. And, man, I cannot, but where did it go? Right? But he's taken it and, he'd come home each day and I'd say, well, what'd you learn? And it did the same thing it did when I took driver's education and when you took it. And that was that they taught him some, but they also spent a good bit of time showing him movies. Scary, sad movies. Our Bennett does not like sad stories. And they would, every day, they'd show him some parents crying, their teenage daughter who was a straight A student and had her whole life in front of her and careless driving. These things went on and on. Bennett finally said he just felt like crying out and saying, okay, I'll never go more than 2 miles an hour, I swear. Just please don't show me any more of those movies. But I was dropping him off for the class, and as I was walking out, you know, and the teacher made his first statement to the class, he said, you're about to embark on the most dangerous thing you'll do in your life. And I was kind of like, yeah, you tell him. So I'm kind of glad that there's some warnings like that, because we're not advocating for folly. We're not advocating for sin. We're not saying to our kids, go ahead, just play in the middle of the street and repeat to yourself, I hope I don't get hit by a car. That's not what hope is. We're not saying, you know, don't worry about it. The car, you know, is not dangerous. You're blessed. So go ahead and text, eat a sandwich, fiddle with the radio, and pick something off the floor while you're driving your car. We're not saying that, right? What we're saying is that folly has consequences. Sin nature has its consequences. And because we know that, things get a little mired. It gets a little tricky, doesn't it? Because how can we talk about there's no condemnation, and yet we know that somehow there's got to be some punishment, got to be some rules, got to be some guidelines. The thing gets a little tricky. And because of sin that lacks wisdom in nature and society, in the heart, in the family, wherever it might be, in our desperation to get our children to be better, we do introduce the idea of potential rejection and condemnation, and then society reinforces that message. We take the child who is so full of hope because Christmas is coming, and yet we want that child to be a good boy or a good girl, and we realize that because hope is so powerful, a tool, that we could take your hope, introduce some rules into it, and use that to get you to try harder to be good. Little girl is just got unfettered hope about Christmas that's coming. And we see that. And so what we do is we're going to harness that deal. So we write songs for that little girl. And we tell her, I know you got hope and Christmas is coming, but you better watch out. And you better not cry. And you better not pout. I'm telling you why Santa Claus is coming to town. You're going to have to do business with Santa when he comes to town. He knows when you're awake. He knows when you're sleeping. He knows when you've been good or bad. So you better be good. Because he could very easily, with one stroke of the pen, take you off his good list and put you on his naughty list just like that. And to reinforce it, we take him to the mall, put him on Santa's knee, and they're trembling, crying, trembling, but doing it because, hey, if it means more presents, it's worth it. And first thing Santa says is, have you been a good little girl? She said, well, yeah. So, but she's sitting there thinking, but I don't know. I'll probably, between now and Christmas, I'll probably yell at my brother, and I'll probably forget to make my bed, and I might not feed the dog. I'm kind of worried about it all. So now she's got hope, sort of. I hope that it's going to be great and Christmas is coming, but what if I mess up? What if I don't keep the rules and I'm not a good girl and I may not get fully blessed? None of my blessedness depends upon me following the law. The law has been introduced into my hope. So this means that the law is anti-hope because we can't keep the law. Paul has explained this in Romans 6 and 7. The law was good. It's not the law's fault that we sin, but the law has proven that we have sinned and fall short. And so if we live by the law, we will be condemned by the law. And so if you want to disturb someone's hope and contaminate it, introduce some law, which goes far to explain why Paul is laying out logically in Romans 6 and 7 the gospel so that he can get to Romans 8:1. It's why, as he's laying this out, he's been very clearly elucidating this kernel of powerful truth that the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ and that he took the whole penalty for all who had disobeyed the law so that the system of the law could expire and be superseded by the covenant of grace. And he so wanted us to see how this is possible through the sacrifice of Christ and the exchange that's taken place on the cross. He wants us to see it. He wants to really get that so that when he finally comes around to say, therefore, that it makes sense to us and we can say, oh, I get it.
Alan Wright, you're listening to Sharing the Light. And today's teaching, No More Condemnation.
Remember how you felt as a kid the day before Christmas? Empty stockings hanging by the fireplace just waiting to be filled. Colorful packages just waiting to be ripped open. It's a wonderful feeling when you're certain that something good is coming. And there's a word for that posture of heart. Hope. Biblical hope isn't about pie-in-the-sky dreams. It's about certainty of a blessed future. If a child says, I hope I get a pony for Christmas, that's wishful thinking. But if a child says, I don't know what I'm going to get for Christmas, but I know it's going to be good, that is hope. If you're ready for fresh hope, join Pastor Alan Wright for an amazing exploration of Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. It's a 12-message CD album called I Hope So. You'll delve deep into the waters of grace, where you'll discover why the law cannot save, heal, or deliver. You'll discover how hope can set you free and make you alive on the inside. It's Pastor Alan Wright's CD album, I Hope So. Maybe it's time for you to feel like a kid at Christmas again. The gospel is shared when you give to Sharing the Light. This broadcast is only possible because of listener financial support.
We're in the final days of this special offer being made available to you.
Call us at 877-544-4860 or come to our website, sharingthelight.org.
Alan, when we live with such a profound hope, will it cause the world to notice a difference and even ask questions?
I think so. We don't do the world any good, and our witness is only hindered if we live under a sense of condemnation. I think what people are hungry for really is actually when they see someone who, though like any human, may still stumble and fall, but doesn't live under this binding sense of condemnation and a constant fear that I'm not measuring up. Every human soul is longing for some sweet freedom wherein we could know that we're actually, truly, finally accepted. And so how could someone see that and not want that?
We're always encouraged to hear from you, whether you visit online at sharingthelight.org or call 877-LIGHT-60. Again, sharingthelight.org. Or call 877-LIGHT-60. Get Alan Wright's daily Sharing the Light devotional in your inbox each morning when you sign up at sharingthelight.org. This has been Sharing the Light with Alan Wright, a listener-supported production of Sharing the Light Ministries.